We are up to the beginning of Perek Hey. Perek Hey Pasuk Aleph. Perek Hey Pasuk Aleph jumps ahead 14 years. 14 years after the conclusion of Perek Dalet, when Koresh changed his mind and told the people who were living in that region they should bring an end to the construction of the city of Yerushalayim, which also meant an end to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. So we discussed actually two days ago, that this was predicted, Ma'aseh Avos Simon LaBanim, in the story with Yitzchak and Avimelech. I just want to point out another, I think it's a Ramban as well, that this whole episode is also hidden in the Toichecha, in the end of Chumash Vayikra, in Parashas Pichukosai. We have here at the end of the Toichecha, after the Toichecha of course was fulfilled, the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, someone to suggest that the Toichecha of Pichukosai is the Bayis Rishon, and the Toichecha of Parashas Kisava is the Bayis Sheni. There are different opinions on these matters. But here in the Toichecha and Parshas Bichukosai, towards the end, Hashem says, "Got the whole Toichecha, all the horrible things that are going to happen. Af ani elech imam bekeri vehevesi oisam yeretz oivehem. I'll bring them to the land of their enemies," referring to the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and they're going to be exiled. Golos Yehoyakim, Golos. Yehoyachin, Golos Tzidkiyahu, the three different stages of Golos, which resulted, which concluded with the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash. Oy Oz Yikonal Levavam Ha'arel Ve'Oz Yirtzu Es Avinam. Then they will be humbled, and they will bear their sins. They'll be forgiven for their sins in this process of Golos. And now we come to Pasuk Mem Beis. Okay, this is Perek Chof Vav, Pasuk Mem Beis, and Parashas Pichukosai. V'zocharti es brisi. At this point in time, Hashem says, "I will have compassion." After the Toichecha has been fulfilled, they have been atoned for their sins. V'zocharti es brisi Yaakov, v'yaf es brisi Yitzchak, v'yaf es brisi Avraham, eskar v'ha'oretz eskar. I'll have Rachmanis. So you think now, wonderful, Hashem has Rachmanis, there's going to be, we have been forgiven for our sins through Golos, and now we will return and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. But then suddenly, Pasuk Mem Gimel, there's a shift. Once in the Haaretz, Te'azev Mehem, the land will be abandoned from them, the Siretz Eshabso Seha, and it will be repaid for the Shabbosos, which have not been fulfilled during the time of the Beis HaMikdash was in existence. Boshamah mehem behem yirtzu es avaynam yan v'yam. Then once again they'll be atoned for their sins, and this that they continue to suffer in Golos. Yan v'yan b'mishpatay mo also v'yesugusai golo nafsham. So the question of the year is, what's going on? What is then it goes further. The Af, let me just go further. The Af Gam Zos Biosam Yeretz Avim Miloim Asim Lo Galtam Lachala Sam Lo Feber Yisitam Keni Hashem Lo Keicham. I'm not going to completely abandon. V'zochareti Lohem Bris Rishonim Asher Seitz Yosam Yeretz Mishraim Leinei Hagoyim Lios Lohem Lelokim Ani Hashem. What is going on here? So I think the Ramban says this Ma'is Avos Simul Abanim. Same exact thing that we learned over here in this parak. There's going to be a two-step process. There will first be a Pekida, 52 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, in the time of Koresh, will issue a proclamation where the Jews are allowed to return to Eretz Yisrael and start rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what the Pasuk says. After the Churban is going to be, I'm going to remember the Zocharti es Brisi Yaakov Yav es Brisi Yisav Yav es Brisi Avraham es Kav Yaretz Eskar. But it's not going to be complete. Even though Hashem is going to remember us, there's going to be what's called the Pekida. There's going to be a remembrance. And Koresh will issue a permission for the Jewish people to return to Eretz Yisrael and start rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Suddenly, 3 years after he gives permission, he's going to say, stop. Stop the construction, like we learned yesterday, end of the Perek Dalet. Stop. Nochamol. Then we go to Pasuk Mem Ve'Oretz Te'azev Nehem. The land once again will be abandoned. The land once again will be desolate. In fact, according to Molim and Mefarshim, a lot of the people, the original people, the 42,360 people who made Aliyah, who came to Eretz Yisrael during the permission of Koresh, they went back. Now that Koresh has issued a stay, no more construction. So who is the leader? One of the main leaders was Daniel. And Daniel, where was Daniel during the time of the miracle of Achashverosh, the time of Mordechai and Esther? He was back in Shushan Abira. What's he doing there? Well, didn't Shesh Batzar, did he not go back to start rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is, after 3 years, after they laid the foundation, and suddenly everything was put to an end, there's nothing to do with here. It's true, it was very difficult to live there. There were a lot of, there were Sarah Yehuda or Binyamin, that we enumerated 9 nations that were trying to cause Sar to the Jewish people. So he left. Many people and some of the leaders went back to Persia, to Parasimodai, to petition, to lobby, to be mechazek the goyla, the people that were still living there in Golis. And all of the, and then after 14 years later, which we're going to pick up now in the beginning of Parakei, once again Daryovesh gives permission, the grandson of Koresh gives permission for the construction to resume, and then we have the full pekida, the golus has fully come to an end, and everyone now is allowed to return, and I mean, they were about to return before, and they can fully rebuild the base HaMikdash. So this process is hinted to in the Toicha itself. In fact, when you lay in the Toicha, we have here a professional Baal Kore, he's in the minute to switch the Nigunim. So you lay in it very low, quietly and quickly, and then when you come to Pasuk Mem Beis, many Baal Kriya have a custom, they raise their voice. Vizochartia Brisi Yaakov Yafes Brisi Yitzhak Yafes Brisi Avram Eskav Yeritzeskar, and then they switch the tone of their voice to a low tone, and they pick up speed, and they read Pasuk Mem Gimel, Pasuk Mem Dalid, and then Pasuk Mem Hey. Once again, they raise their voice. So why this sudden shift? Everything we have Teichacha. Okay, we understand Teichacha. There were 70 years of Chorban. 52 years of Chorban, and then you raise your voice for one Pasuk, and you go back to the tone of Teichacha. The answer is that Pasuk of Pasuk Mem Beis, where the Baal Kore raises his voice, Vizuchartia Esprisi, refers to the 3 years of Koresh, when after the reign of Bavel came to an end, Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Roidach, Belshazzar was over, 70 years of the Malchus of Bavel was over, which was 52 years after the Chumash HaMikdash, then came Modai for 1 year, Dayovesh HaModai, and then comes Koresh. There was a 3 year period where the Jewish people were returning and were beginning to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That is Pasuk Mem Beis of Vizocharti Esbrisi Yaakov Yaf Esbrisi Yitzhak Yaf Esbrisi Yaf Eskar V'Horetz Eskar, but it didn't last more than 3 years. And then suddenly there was a stay. Perek Dalet, Ezra, no more. The Tzara Yehuda Binyamin. Let's put an end to the Beis HaMikdash. Put an end to the construction. That's why we go back, Pasuk Mem Gimel, Pasuk Mem Dalet, in the Teichacha, the next Upsukim, refer to the next 14 years after these 3 years of Koresh, where there was no construction. Everything was halted. Daniel went back to Paras Umodai, and everyone was just waiting around. Then, when you come to the end of Parashas Pichukosa, Pasuk Mem Hey, Vizocharti Lohem Bris Rishonim Asher Otzeisi Osami Eretz Mitzrayim. That is at the very end of 70 years since the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, 70 years from the Golus of Tzidkiyahu, 14 years later, after the miracle of Purim, in the time of Daryovish Ben Esther, when permission was once again given to the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So something very interesting to keep in mind, that now that you know, we know this parakim over here in Ezra, Perak Dal, Perak Hey, this whole time period, it makes sense, the Seder HaDvarim and the Teichah and Parash Pichu Kosai, why towards the end, all of a sudden there's a spurt, there's a flare which comes up of good news. And then all of a sudden it shoots down, we go back to Teichacha. It's that 3 year spark of light where we were permitted to return and rebuild, but it was only for 3 years. Everything came to an end. We had to go through another 14 years until it would be reversed once again. Okay, that's an important point should be mentioned. Another important point that should be mentioned at this point in time, in between Perek Dal and Perek Hey, is when the Kusim, they were cursed. We learned in Perek Dalet and Perek Gimel, we learned this in Yeshaya, how Melech Ashur, he relocated, this was the custom of ancient times, in order to suppress any nation that was a threat to the Malchus. Sancheriv invented this idea that you relocate populations. You take millions of people or hundreds of thousands of people and you relocate them. You don't do anything. You don't harm them. You can live. You can have a good life. Just I don't want you to live where you're living. I want you to relocate to a new country.
Stalin did the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He took Lithuanian and Polish people and put them in Uzbekistan, Tashkent. Spread them out all the way over there to make sure he has control of the countries there.
And what's the logic? You're uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable. You don't know the territory. You don't know the territory. And in fact, this is in fact hinting to the last week's parasha. Parasha has this whole idea, Makas Oroiv. Oroiv. Let me read you the pasuk in Parshas Vo'era. It says that Hashem will not only take the animals, Hashem will take Vesu Adam Asher Hemoleha. The animals will be relocated with the earth which they come from. Let me find you the pasuk. Here's the Makkah of Kinim. And then comes Hinani Mashliach Becha Uva Avodecha Uva Amecha Uve Votecha Es He Oroiv. What is He Oroiv? Wild animals. Umalu Bote Mitzrayim Es He Oroiv Vigam Ho Adama Asher He Molecha. Now, what does that mean? So, simply that means that the animals will fill up the Bote Mitzrayim. Right? The animals will enter into their homes, and the animals will enter into the earth which the Egyptians are living. That's one interpretation. But on a much deeper interpretation, it means... Does Rashi say this? So let me look at Rashi. No. But another interpretation is that when it says V'gam ho adama asher heimolecha does not mean that the animals will enter into the land which the Egyptians live, but it means that the animals will come together with their environment. Hashem will not just uproot the lions and the tigers and the bears. Hashem will uproot the forest. Hashem will uproot their natural habitats. Why? So they should feel comfortable. If you take a lion out of its natural habitat and you put it on Avenue J, it's not necessarily going to attack. Go pizza, kosher delight. It's not going to feel comfortable because I don't know the territory. In order for the lion, the bear, to have gaiva, to feel comfortable, to attack, to dominate, it needs to be part of its environment. So that's what it means over here in the pasuk. V'gam, not only will I bring umolub, not only will I bring the animals es ha'arov, I will bring with the animals v'gam ho adama asher heimoleha, the earth where they come from. They'll be comfortable to attack. So this is what Melech Asher, what he did. He, in order to prevent people from rebelling, he relocated populations, people from all over the world, and in order that they should feel distressed. They're not in their environment, and they won't have the gaiva to rebel against the king, the presence of mind to rebel against the king. So so the Jews were, the Aseres Hashvatim were exiled by Ashur to all different lands, to Bavel and other parts of the world, to Ashur, all the parts of the world. Who did Melech Ashur relocate, put in Eretz Yisrael? The Kusim. And the Kusim were non-Jews, and they were pagans. They came to Eretz Yisrael, and they were living there. They occupied the land. They took possession of Shomron, of the capital of the Aseres Hashvatim, and the surrounding lands, and they lived there. And being that they were pagans, they followed their old ways, and they worship idols. They worship whatever they worship, the sun, the moon, the stars, they're pagan idols. And what happened? Hashem was not pleased. Eretz Yisrael is a holy land, does not tolerate idolatry. So Hashem sent lions to eat them up. There was a plague of lions to consume these people, and they were being killed right and left. They were dropping like flies. So they did not understand what was happening, so they were told, they made an inquiry by Jews, it's not clear exactly who they were told. The reason why this is happening is because Eretz Yisrael is a holy land, and the Ribbono Shel Olam does not tolerate idolatry in his land. So if you want to survive, it will be in your best interest that you should convert. You should follow the laws of the land, of this holy land. And indeed they did convert, and the Gemara has a question, was the conversion sincere or not? Were they Geri Emes? Was it a sincere Geris? Or were they Geri Arayos? It means they were converts due to the lions. Only because the lions were eating them up, that's why they converted. Okay, so that is a dispute. According to many opinions, it was a sincere Geris. However,
the lions stopped eating them.
Yes, the lions stopped.
Well, you think it would be sincere then?
Possibly. That's the big debate. The two opinions in the Gemara. Now, this is an important point. However, although let's assume like the opinion that the Mandema that says that it was a Gere Emes. It was a conversion of sincerity. They really did convert properly, and they were taught by people that was a few Jews that were still living in the land, or maybe by the shade of Yehudim and Yamin. They taught them how to observe the Torah. They were Gere Emes, but they backslided. That did not last very long. This now, from the time that they came until the Churban Beis Hamikdash was about 130 years. The Sancheiriv exiled Aseret Shvatim 130 years before the Churban Beis Hamikdash, before Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. So they were 130 years. During that 130 years, although it may have been that in the beginning they were sincere, after 130 years, and certainly in another 52 years to the time when this event is taking place, so now we're dealing with approximately 175 years, 180 years, when this event took place, who was the main group of people that opposed the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash? It was the Kusim. In fact, we learned, they said that we also want to participate, we also are religious, we also want to participate in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, and we also want to participate in the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the rebuilding of the Mizbech, and the offering of the Korbanos. And Daniel, together with the Kohen Gadol and Zerubbabel, told them, no, loy lochem v'lo. Live no space for Hashem. We don't want your participation. We do not want your assistance because you are not 100% observant. They were worshiping Hashem, but they also worshiped. They went back partially to their old ways and they worship idols. Shituf. They were from the first, not from the first. We learned to Daniel. We learned about the roots of Christianity. Were already present. We learned about, no, that was later, Christianity, well, I'm sorry, take that back, that was during the time of the Bayesheni, during the middle of the Bayesheni, that was the time of the Yevonim. So there was no Christianity, not at least for another 200 years, the earliest accounts. Goyim hold much later. But we find this concept of Shituf, of serving Hashem, and also serving an idol, what the Torah recognizes as an idol together. Who were the first ones to invent this concept? Well, none of them necessarily the first ones, but the Kusim were definitely part of this plan to worship Shituf. You worship Hashem and you also worship Avodah Zarah at the same time. You worship them together because they converted, so they did worship. They worship, but they also said we also worship our Avodah Zarah. But being that we worship Hashem, that's enough. That gives us enough legitimacy to participate in the building of the Beis Hamikdash and assisting you. And the people who returned from Golis said, "No way, we're not joining forces with people that practice Shituf, joining Hashem with Avodah Zarah." And you're out. So what happened? They got very upset, they led the way with the other nine nations and the whole region of Canaan and Canaanis to slander the Jewish people to Koresh and bring about a halt in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kusim here, after living in the land for approximately 180 years, slowly went backwards towards their old ways, and they were extremely wicked in leading the way in bringing an end to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, at this point in time, the Rabbanan, there's a very elaborate midrash of how they did this, they took out 300 shofaros, maybe 400 shofaros, and they took 300 or 400 children, and they all got the 300 children, and all the children were holding Sifrei Torah, I don't know exactly the ceremony, and they cursed them. And they declared upon them that they're worse than Goyim. They are Goyim, they are non-Jews, and they are Kusim. Kusim, to a certain degree, have a status that's even worse than a non-Jew. Even though, at one point in time, according to one opinion, they were Geri MS, they were sincere converts, but their conduct was so wicked. Their success in bringing an end to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash was almost equivalent to what Nebuchadnezzar did in destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kusim prevented its reconstruction, even though the Koresh gave permission for it to be built. It was considered to be such a terrible sin that they were excommunicated and they were cursed by, it could be by Ezra, it could be by Daniel. It's not exactly clear who participated in this curse, and it was done in an elaborate ceremony. We'll come across the Medrash at some point in time. I have it over here somewhere. I think even Rashi quotes the Medrash. But was by they were done with this whole procedure of blowing the shofar with 300 children and holding 300 Sefer Torah because of what the Kusim have done. So we learn in the Gemara. You learn about the Kusim, and the Gemara always says something very negative about the Kusim and says that you can't trust them, and they have a status like of a guy, and in certain areas they're worse than goyim, and they're totally not believed. And then you start to question, what do you mean? But doesn't the Gemara say that they were Geri MS? How all of a sudden can they be such evil people? The answer is, in Achnami, for 180 years there was a debate, were they Geri MS, were they Geri Arayos? But after 180 years, at this point in time, in between when they succeeded at the end of Perek Dalet in Sefer Ezra of bringing an end to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, Hazal, the Nevi'im, and the Kohen Gadol, and the king, Zerubbabel, king without a crown at this point, declare that these people are the epitome of evil, and they have been removed from Klal Yisrael in any shape or form. Okay, so now with that Hakdama, we can go to Perek, the beginning of Perek. Hey, V'his Nabi Chagai Nevi'ah, Uzachariah Bar Ido Nevi'ah, Al Yehudoyei Di Yehud, concerning the Jews living in the Jews living in Yehuda, in the region of Yehuda, Ubirushalem, Bishum, in the name Elokai Yisrael Aleho. Now that means, in a nutshell, we'll review the words again in a moment, but it means that at this point in time we have two of the three last Nevi'im, Chagai and Zechariah. Malachi for some reason does not appear here. Okay, clearly the Malachi, somewhere Malachi was what?
Something different.
Who was Malachi? Was it Mordechai? Was it Daniel?
Mordechai, some say.
Okay, so the Malachi is a question who he was. It could be that he was also present, just he had a different name. Maybe we'll come to it at some point in time. But this pasuk only mentions explicitly two of the three Nevi'im that we are familiar with from this period of time. The Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, was built with the assistance of three Nevi'im. Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi. They were the last prophets from the Nevi'im, and they lived into the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. It's not clear exactly when they died, but they were present in the Bayis Sheni, and here at this point in time they gave forth prophecy, and they told the people living in Eretz Yisrael that they should start rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash without permission. Again, this now is 14 years since the end of Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet ended with the people living in the land receiving the letter from Koresh, and the letter was addressed to Shimshai the Sofer and Rechum the counselor, that we have reviewed your request and we have agreed that the construction should be put to an end, should be halted. And they right away they ran Babahila with haste to the construction site, and with force, with koyach, we learned, yes, that was the end of the parak, and with force, and uvatilu himo be'edra v'choyel, with force and power, they put an end to the construction. Period. Now, fast forward, 14 years later, we've now Koresh has died. Achashverosh has come to power. In the third year of the Malchus of Achashverosh, the story of Purim played out. And then a number of years passed after that, and Achashverosh died. And then who took over the throne? Daryovesh ben Achashverosh, who is also called Daryovesh ben Esther. And now it's his second year of ruling the world, Paras Umodai, which controlled pretty much 127 Medinos. He ruled the entire world, more or less. And now, all of a sudden, nothing has changed. Eretz Yisrael is quiet. There's no construction. The foundation has been laid, but it's like one of like those construction signs he passed on the road. It's just boarded up, and nothing is doing there for 14 years. And all of a sudden, Chagai, Zechariah, get up in shul in Eretz Yisrael, and they say, "We have received a communication from above, from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everyone should get up after Shabbos is over. Mitzvah Shabbos, meet us by the construction site. We are resuming the construction." They said to Chagai and Zechariah, "What are you out of your mind? There's an order from the government of Persia that this cannot be done." Okay, it's true that this edict was issued by Koresh, and Koresh is long dead, and his son Achashverosh is also dead, and there's a new king in town, Daryavesh, but the law is still in effect. You know, the constitution is still active. At least we think it is. The constitution is still in effect. We can't just do this. This is a criminal activity. We can be treason. We can be killed if we dare resume construction of the Beis HaMikdash. So Zechariah and Malachi say, "No, Hashem wants you to be Moiser Nefesh. He wants you to take a few risks. This is our command. This is the vision that we've had. Resume construction." And that's what it means. V'hisnabi, at that moment of the pasuk, and they gave forth prophecy. Who? Chagai Zechariah. Does not say his father's name. Chagai Nevi'ah. Does not say his name. Well, his father's name, we'll see in a moment why. Uzechariah Varido. When it comes to Zechariah, we do mention his father's name. He was also Nevi'ayah. Al Yehudoye, concerning the Jews. Devi Hud, which were living in the region of Yehuda. Uvirushalayim, and the city of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a city in the region of Yehuda, the Chelek of Yehuda. Bishum, in the name Elokai Yisrael, in the name of Hashem, the God of Yisrael, Aleihon, concerning them, does not tell us, the post does not tell us what the prophecy was, but we are relying upon the beginning of Sefer Chagai. And the Sefer Trei Asar, I think it's the first two or three prakim, there indeed it details exactly what was said here in this one pasuk. Okay, this is a pasuk from Ksuvim in Ezra, and it's just giving you a Mar Malkum. Go to Sefer Trei Asar, to the beginning of Sefer Zechariah, Sefer Chagai, I already forgot already which Sefer, and there it tell there and there the first two or three prokim, it says exactly what Chagai and Zechariah said in the name of Hashem at this moment in time, and the synopsis is, resume building the Beis HaMikdash, be Moser Nefesh, to build the Beis HaMikdash. Let us see Rashi Pasuk Aleph, V'hisnabi, Chagai Zeneviyayah, V'atah now, B'shna Shtayim L'Daryavish, Nisnabu Chagai Zechariah Hanavim El HaYehudim Asher Be'eretz Yehuda, U'v'yushalim, the land of Yehuda, and in the city of Yerushalayim, B'shem Elokei Yisrael Aleihem. What? What's the prophecy? The Pasuk does not tell us. It's absent. So we rely upon what it says in Sefer Chagai, Livnos binyan habayis beloy rishus hamelech Daryavish. You don't need permission. Go do it. Al Yehudoye, al HaYehudim, aleihoin, aleihem, concerning the Jewish people. Let's look at the Metzudos David, the Hisnabi, the Nibo Chagai Hanavi, the Chulu, el HaYehudim, Asher Eretz Yehudo, Bishlai, Meshem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Nemar aleihem, veloy zochar mahu hanavua. Doesn't say what the prophecy is in this pasuk. It's absent. Umeelav Yuvan. It's self understood. Shetziva livnos abayis mibli rishus hamelech. Okay, now why here in this pasuk when we mention Chagai do we omit his father's name? But with regard to Zechariah, we define him as we mention him as Bar Ido. So the famous Chazal. I'll read a few word for word from the Medrash. The Medrash Vayikra Rav Perek Vav section Vav. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol navi shenisparei shemo v'shem aviv, any prophet that's mentioned in Tanakh, and we refer to him by his name and his father's name, navi ben navi, that's an indication that his father was also a prophet. V'chol shenisparei shemo v'lo shem aviv, hu navi v'loi ben navi, his father was not a prophet. Now why is that important for us to know? Because it's a different level of prophecy. You have this by Yitzchak, Ein Adam Tfilat Tzadik Ben Tzadik L'Tfilat Tzadik Ben Rasha. Rivka's father was Besuel. Besuel is not exactly someone you gave a shlishi to. Or shishi.
Unless you donated
to the
show. Oh.
Money talks.
Okay. And what about Yitzchak? Yitzchak ben Avraham. Okay, Yitzchak ben Avraham. So what does Rashi say? That they both were mispal for children, and pause. Hashem listened to him, and the idiyuk is him and not her. Why did Hashem listen to him and not her? So, Ein Adoy Metzilas Tzadik Ben Tzadik, Letzilas Tzadik Ben Rasha. So you'll ask, Adarava, Tzadik Ben Rasha, the person doesn't have, that shows a greater Mesiras Nefesh, it's not for now. There's a lot of Torah, there's a lot of Torah to be said and discussed and to be analyzed why this is true. The Tzilah of a Tzadik Ben Tzadik, but it's a Metzias, this is the way it is, it has to be understood, and that's the same thing over here is, you have two prophets. A prophet, the son of a prophet, that means it's in the family. There's something to it. There's something to it when it's been developed over a long period of time, over the generations. Whereas you have a rookie, you have a prophet, he's a newcomer, he's a rookie. It's prophecy. Don't belittle Chas V'Shalom, a prophet, of any Hasaga, what prophecy is. We don't even have a clue how rachuk we are. We couldn't even come anywhere near them. But it's a different type of prophecy when it's not a Navi, Ben Navi. And that's why it's important. That's why I mentioned over here, we have two Nevi'im. Chagai Nevi'ah. His father was not a prophet. Not Chashon to belittle him. But it's also that we also have Zechariah Bar Ido. Okay, now this also, Ido, I think is also, his prophecy appears in different places of Tanakh. I'm not a Bucky in Tanakh, but somewhere appears, I think his prophecy appears here and there in other places. But sometimes you have prophets in Tanakh where it mentions their father, which means their father was a prophet, and there is no record anywhere in Tanakh of anything that he said, any prophecy. Okay, Chazal tell us there are 1,200,000 prophets, and the only ones that are recorded are prophets that there is a lesson to learn from for all generations. So sometimes the pasuk mentions the prophet and his father's name, which, and we know what the father said because the father had a message which is relevant for us today. But sometimes the Torah mentions the name of the father, and we don't have any record of a prophecy given over by the father. So why does the Torah bother to mention? To let us know that the prophecy that's been said by the son is a very high level. It's a very intense level of prophecy. We learn Yeshaya, we mentioned that there were 10 different expressions. Chazon Yeshaya Ben Amos. It's the first word of Sefer Yeshaya. Chazon. The Medrash there says there are 10 different expressions of prophecy in Tanakh. And each one has a different connotation, a different degree, different level. We don't appreciate, we don't know what prophecy is to begin with, but there are different levels, and that also translates into a different levels of prophecy when dealing with who is the prophet. Moshe was the Av HaNaviim, and the other prophets, even among the other prophets, there's a Navi Ben Navi, and then there's just Tam, a newcomer, a new Navi. Want to say something?
And you had with Hoshea.
Ben Be'eri. Two psukim. Yes, only two. A very short prophecy, so he didn't even merit to have a whole sefer in Treyasar. Two psukim, so he's included in Sefer Yeshaya, where the theme of his prophecy related to what Yeshaya was saying, so he incorporated it into those two psukim. Yeshaya ben Be'eri, correct. Very good. Okay, so now we come to Pasuk Beis. Beidayin, then. Kamu Zerubbabel bar She'altiel V'Yeshua bar Yotzadok. The two main leaders. They were still here. That was very interesting is that the same leaders are present. We're going to see there's going to be opposition once again. We're going to see they're going to start building the Beis HaMikdash. And there's going to be opposition. But the people who are going to oppose are not the same people that were around 14 years ago. They're gone. We don't have any mention of Shimshai the Safra. I don't have any mention of Rechum. And almost all the names that were mentioned, all the names of the people, we had a whole long list of names of people mentioned, meeting the Sefer Ezra, they're all gone. 14 years is not such a long time. Okay, it's only 14 years later. So where do they all go? They're all gone. But the people who were involved in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, they're all here. The same names.
There's a life expectancy there. It was not that good.
Could be, okay. I mean, yes and no. There were different tkufas. There were some tkufas where they lived very long. There were some tkufas in history where they lived short. It appears that at this tkufa, they lived very long. The people who were returning, a lot of people who rebuilt the Beis Sheni, were present. There are many indications. They were very old. They were in their 80s, 90s, even 100, there's some say, because they were there 52 years ago, or even more. At this point in time, you study history, there are different kufas where the life expectancy changed depending on many factors. But I think there's also a message, is that Rishoyim don't stick around very long. Rishoyim make a lot of noise. Empty cans make a lot of noise. You know, you find a certain, you find Rishoyim, they're there. They're there, poof, and then they're gone. They make a lot of noise, a lot of trouble. They shake up the whole world. Poof, they're gone. Tzaddikim, quiet. And they endure. They're around. They outlive, they outlast the wicked. Sometimes, not all the time, obviously. But you see that at least over here. There's such a big emphasis of Rechum and Shimshai. They're making all this noise. And then you have over here Daniel and Zerubbabel and all these people. They're not young people. They're not young people. They're schlepping. They're making a very difficult trip from Bavel. They're coming to Eretz Yisrael, a land that's completely barren, desolate. There's nothing here. They're setting up shop. These are delicate old people. So you think, who's going to outlive who? Shimshai and Rechum. They have a good life. They're secure in their country. And now, only 14 years later, no mention of them. But who's still around? The old-timers, the same people. Zerubbabel is around. Yeshua Kangal is still around. Mordechai is still around. The Nevi'im are still around. They're not going anywhere. There's something there, like you said, that Rasham lo yechatsu yimehem, the Rasham, poof, just a puff of smoke, the tzaddikim, they have a degree of endurance. So now, we have Kamu Zerubbabel Bar Shealtiel, which was the melech, he was the acting king. There was no real king anymore, but he was the acting king. And as we mentioned, then the Yeshua Bar Yot Tzadok, he was the Koyein God, the acting Koyein Gadol. Vishoriv, this is an unusual word. Vishoriv means they began. Okay, so not a comma. They began the Mivne to build Beis Elokah di Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash, which was in Yerushalayim. The Imhoin, with them, who was at their side, giving them assistance. Nevi Yaya di Elokah, the prophets of Hashem, Misadin Lohon, were helping them. They were there to give them moral support. We mentioned in the past the order of the names. Sometimes we have the name of Yeshua, the Kohen Gadol comes first, before the Melech, sometimes the Melech comes first. Here we have the Melech, and then we have the Kohen Gadol. We mentioned this because when you're building the Beis HaMikdash, you're building the structure, it's a national project. The focus is on the Melech. When you're building the Mizbeach, the service inside the Shul, the focus is on the Kohen. Here the building, it could very well be that during these 14 years, it's not clear, I'm sure they must discuss this, did they bring Korbanos? It's very likely they did bring Korbanos during these 14 years, because they brought Korbanos immediately. As soon as they arrived, they built the Mizbeach, they must have had some type of curtains, they brought Korbanos, and then there was a Sukkot, and after Sukkot, shortly thereafter, they brought Korbanos. Then they wanted to build a structure, it should be about Kavadik, a structure, it should be a permanent place. So that they got into trouble. When the construction was halted, it's not clear if they were prevented from offering korbanos. Seemingly not. Seemingly the korbanos continued to be offered during these 14 years. But now they're going to resume building the actual structure of the Mikdash, led by the Melech. He took the lead. The Kohen Gadol was the second in lead. And then we have the Nevi'im. Now it's very strange. The Nevi'im, when you think of a Navi, you don't think of a Navi on the construction site. Right, no, you don't see a Navi is seemingly a Zokein Mufluk with a long white beard. He's not exactly fit to lift heavy bricks. So it says here, they're there with them. The Imhoin, there are two expressions. The Imhoin, with them. Misadin lohain. There's repetition in this pasuk. The prophets were assisting the melech and the kongel. It's not exactly clear what kind of assistance. It's not likely it was labor, physical labor. It's more likely moral support, guidance, maybe telling them exactly where the different parts of the base hamilush have to be built, how to build it.
Fundraising.
It could be there was a lot of persecution, there was a lot of resistance, and they needed a very intense encouragement. It's not clear why there's such a great emphasis that they were assisting them. First it says they told them what to do, and they took the lead, and Nachamal repeats, and the Nadim were assisting them. It emphasized their assistance.
Well, look, maybe because they were the ones that said that they should go and do this without...
That was Shus.
They have to keep the morale of the people up.
Yeah, that's obviously what it means, but there must be more details which I think are absent, for at least from the simple reading what we have in front of us. Let's see over here the Rashi. Beidayin then, ozen, visharif. A very unusual word, hischilu. The word vishar means they began. Livnos beisa shilakadosh baruch hu, asher b'Yerushalayim, v'imayim hanavim shilakadosh baruch hu, oizrin u'misayin lohem, providing assistance. Let's see the mitzvah pasuk beis. Beidayin oz den amdu zerubavel v'hischilu livnos beisa elokim asher b'Yerushalayim, v'imhoin v'imhem hanavim shel elokim, hayu misayim lohem, were providing assistance. And the Mitzudos Tzion just says that's an unusual word, Inyan Haschola. Vishrev ki vizeh hechelom. Vizeh hechelom la'asos. And that is said by the Migdal. Where do we have this expression? Maybe there's some type of interesting drush. Vizeh hechelom la'asos. They, Hashem, came down and said, what are these people here in Bavel doing? They're building a Migdal to rebel against me. To rebel against me? Who knows? Before I know, so Hashem came down and Bolal Sefasam confused their language. So the translation, the Aramaic translation, Zeh Hachilom La'asos. Hashem said to the Melachim, look what they have begun to do is Targ Munkelis V'dein Dishariu. This they have begun. It could very well be that there is some homiletic drush here. Is that just like there, by the Migdal Bavel, they all unified. This word term, the word hechelu, hech, there are many words to mean to have begun. I'm sure you open up a dictionary of Lashon Kodesh, you'll find many different synonyms for begin. And that is synonymous, that's an exact translation of shoriv. So perhaps there's some type of Ezra, who's writing this, is trying to draw our attention. Just like by the Migdal Bavel, the whole world came together, they unified to build a Migdal to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh l'umazeh, the Klal Yisrael, they all, like we have many, many, this idea repeats itself, b'yachat. Yachad, together, all of the Jews living here at this point in Eretz Yisrael, joined together with complete unity and achdus to build this structure, this bias, in honor to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So perhaps there is some connection with the choice of this unusual word in reference to the beginning, Vishariv V'zeh Hechilam La'asos. Okay, Pasuk Gimel, Bei Zimna. Now what happened? So nothing good lasts too long. One more Pasuk. Bei Zimna. Asa Alehoin Tatnai. Ah, a new guy. New cast of characters. 14 years later, a new man appears on the scene. His name is Tatnai. Who is he? Who is this person? He is Pachas Avar Nahara. He was the governor of the entire Avar Nahara. That's a big position. That's a, like, you know, here in the United States, they have general, the whole South America, all different, the entire Middle East, all the different generals in the army, and they have different control, different parts of the world. They give them United States. We have assets all over the world. We have warships, and we have you name it, all these different things, and they are generals, and they are generals that are given chunks of the world. It's a very interesting concept. And he was the governor of the entire Avar Nahara. Everything to the west of the Euphrates was under his jurisdiction. That's how he comes. Tatnai Pachas, the governor. Avar Nahara. Who else? He has an assistant. And his name is Ushasar Boznai, another new person. His name was Ushasar Boznai. Uchid Novoshoin, and their friends, their colleagues, they had a whole staff. V'chein Omrin Lohoin, and the following, V'chein means the following is what they said to the Jews who were rebuilding without permission. Man som lechoin to aim. Who gave you permission? Who gave the order? To aim means the order. Who issued? Man who som issued lechom to you to aim the order that baisa dina, this bais, this building, livne, can be constructed. What's going on over here? This is illegal. V'usharna dina, the walls of the city, lishachlala, to be laid, to be the foundation of the walls of the city. Who gave permission that the foundation of the walls of this city, the shura, can be founded? Its stones can be laid. Who gave permission? What's going on over here? This is illegal. Show me the permit. You always see in the construction sites all the permits. Where are the permits? What's going on over here? So let's go over here. Rashi Pasagil. Bezimna asalehon biosazman at the time. Baalehem halalu. At this point, Tsore Yehuda ben Yamin, the enemies, lekanter, to complain, to provoke, ulehalshin, to slander alehem, al esek habinyin. Who came? The name of the person was Pachas of Anahara. Shultoin. Shultoin means the ruler. The Pachas is the shulter. Shal Ever Hanar. Uchi Novo Sehon and his companions. Visi Osehon. His friends. Vichain Armelohon. Vichain Hoyo Emlohem. Man Sam. Meet Sivulohem Dover. Devar Habayis. The matter of the Bayis Livnos. Vishrano Denal the Shachlolo. Who gave you permission to lay the foundation for the walls? Hakis. Solim ho'e'ele liyaseid, to lay the foundation for this walls. Kimoy v'ushaya yachitu, like we had it before in Perek Dalet. Yachitu means to string together. It's an expression like a string. So we learned in any perushim what that means. The string either means to make sure the stones are level, or it means to connect the different parts of the wall. Ubinyan choymos Levanim, the building of a wall of bricks. Kach chibu Menachem. That's how Menachem was. Wrote a dictionary. That's what he put in his dictionary. That's what this pasuk means. It means to lay the bricks for the wall. Let's just see the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs pasuk gimel beizimna beisachia. That time ba aleim came upon them. Tatnai Moshe Avanara ushasar boznai v'chavrehem v'chein v'koyamu lohem miyosu lohem gezeras oimer. Who gave you permission? Gezeras oimer. That's an expression. Who issued the decree, who issued the permit? Livnos Abayis Hazev, Yachoyma Hazos Legoyma Ulechaloisa, to conclude it and to establish it. And that's where we will leave off. Okay, so we'll stop here.